This is your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to talk about the West's ongoing water crisis. Maps from the U.S. Drought Monitor show nearly all of the West is in a drought. 95% of California is suffering a severe or extreme drought. The snowpack, which provides a third of California's water supply, is 38% of average statewide. Last summer, California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a call for residents and businesses to voluntarily cut water use by 15%. Well, according to the State Water Resources Control Board, in March, water use rose nearly 19% over the same time last year. So starting in June, about 6 million people in Los Angeles, San Bernardino, and Ventura counties will be required to dramatically cut down outdoor water use. Joining us to talk about California's water crisis and what's in store as we approach another very hot season is Rachel Becker, an environment reporter for Cal Matters, where she covers California's water challenges and water policy issues. Hi, Rachel. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's great to have you. First of all, just a couple of facts. 95% of California is suffering severe or extreme drought. When you look at that map, I mean, the entire state is practically red or bright red.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not looking good. I mean, almost 60% is in extreme drought, which is even worse than severe drought. And the regions that are seeing really dire consequences stretch up and down the state, down the midline from the Oregon border down through Sacramento and San Joaquin Valleys to parts of the Central Coast and Santa Barbara counties, the desert reaches. Really, no part of the state is unaffected by drought at this point. We did get some rain in April, and that helped, especially in parts of Northern California, but it definitely wasn't enough to make a dent in the drought. Now we're seeing temperatures rise and conditions dry out, and it's not looking good.
You write about the snowpack. You write, worse than last year, worse even than last month. This year's snowpack is the worst it's been in 7 years and the sixth lowest April measurement in state history. So people who work on these issues, what have they told you?
And looking at the snowpack is really critical for sort of anticipating what the summer water supply is going to look like and how much water we can expect to see refilling California's reservoirs. And with such a low snowpack and with it so rapidly disappearing, it doesn't look like we can expect a ton of reservoir refill. This is something we saw last year, perhaps even more severely, when about 800,000 acre feet of water that was anticipated to run off into California's reservoirs just kind of disappeared. It soaked into the ground. It sublimed into the air. And so now California state scientists are really racing to try to revamp their forecasts and calculations to factor in how climate change is really changing this calculus for how much snowpack Californians can expect to become water supply later on.
Do you think people understand where we are at this point? Because I remember, you know, years ago, we would hear about the drought on a pretty regular basis. And you have a really interesting perspective from Kelsey Hinton, the communications director of Community Water Center. This is a group advocating for affordable access to clean water. I'm sorry, Kelsey actually spoke with CNN, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this, given that this is your beat. She said that urban communities, which typically get water from the state's reservoirs, don't seem to understand the severity of the drought in the way that rural communities do, where water could literally stop flowing out of a tap the moment that their groundwater just runs out. So what are your thoughts on this? Do people in cities really understand how dire this is?
We've really seen this drought play out at a very local level. So, you know, the town of Mendocino has went into water rationing really early last year, reducing how much water folks can use off their wells. We've seen the Bay Area this year in San Jose start instituting surcharges and water allocations again pretty early. I think it was around November or December after residents failed to reach voluntary targets. And the reason why both of these places, you know, in other locations, especially in Northern California, have seen and in the Central Valley as well, have seen kind of early action is because their local supplies are so precarious. And the town of Mendocino is reliant on groundwater stores that are rain fed. And so without rain, there's no groundwater. San Jose has seen its largest reservoir drains for earthquake retrofits. And so as a result, they've had to move pretty quickly. In other parts of the state, they're now in many parts of Southern California entered last year with quite a lot of water in storage, but because of how dire conditions are in California's reservoirs, there's much less water flowing from the State Water Project and also for some regions dependent on the Central Valley Project as well. And so as a result, we're starting to see responses from folks who are dependent on those imported supplies.
So let's talk about how much water people are using and what needs to change. So the governor asked residents and businesses to voluntarily cut water use by 15%. The State Water Resources Control Board said water use actually rose 19%. As you report, obviously regions are very different. The only regions, though, that slightly reduced water consumption were the San Francisco Bay Area, which used 1.4% less, and the Southern San Joaquin Valley, which used 0.2% less. So give us a sense of what is really going on today with water use.
So saying what's going on today is difficult because the data for urban water use actually lags by about 2 months. So we're not getting real-time data, which may complicate kind of that real-time assessment of where California is at in terms of water use. We're also only able to really see that kind of close to real-time picture for cities and towns. So, you know, water used for households, for businesses, irrigating yards and parks and golf courses. The state doesn't have the same kind of real-time reporting or tracking for agricultural water use. So it's not included in these statistics. For urban water use, you know, as you said, we saw in March it had increased statewide by about 19%, and that really wiped out the cumulative gains we'd seen since last July when the governor called for that 15% voluntary conservation target. At the same time, conditions were very dry in January and February and March, the driest January through March on record in the state's record keeping for over 100 years. So what we may be seeing is people turning on their irrigation in a time of year when rain usually waters their gardens. What kind of remains to be seen is the governor at the end of March issued an executive order asking telling local water agencies to step up their drought responses, essentially, if they hadn't done it already. And the other day, he called it a mandate of local mandates. And so the water board's set to vote on those rules, actually implementing that order. So that hasn't really taken effect yet. So we'll see in the coming months whether it does have any effect at all on California's water use.
Well, next month, about 6 million people will be under a new rule to restrict water use. This is in Southern California. Water authorities there say this is unprecedented. What restrictions will go into effect and how will this be enforced?
Yeah, this came from a vote from the Metropolitan Water District, which is a massive water importer in Southern California. It supplies multiple counties, about 19 million people. And so it voted in April, essentially imposing one of two options. Cities and local water districts would either have to limit that receive water from Metropolitan Water District. They would have to limit residents to outdoor watering once a week or reduce total water use below a certain target. And this will specifically affect water agencies that receive water from the State Water Project. So that's state water, state managed water that comes from mostly Northern California reservoirs and is pumped south. Allocations from the State Water Project have been significantly reduced. And so that's kind of what we're seeing play out here. And the water providers are going to have plans to actually enforce these restrictions. And if they fail, they could face fines of $2,000 for every extra acre foot of water that exceeds their monthly allocation limits soon.
In our remaining minutes, can you comment on what advocates are saying at this point? a lot of people say that there needs to be a stronger mandate. Heather Cooley, research director with the Pacific Institute, told you with the voluntary call, some areas were doing okay, others not so well. The message gets pretty garbled. With a mandate, it's a very clear message about the need. And then the other issue, of course, is agriculture. We're going to have you back for a whole show about that. But a number of advocates are saying, why is this just at the individual level? We also have to talk about agriculture. As you report, of all the water Californians use, about 20% flows through urban taps, hoses, and sprinklers. Almost all of the rest is for agriculture.
It's something that environmental advocates have been saying since last year, kind of this question of why there isn't a greater push to conserve now and save more for later, because we don't know how long this drought is going to last. It's really a question that we'll have to see how it plays out with whether local water districts really rise to the occasion with this mandate of local mandates, as the governor called it, or whether water use will continue as is. And I think that's something that's going to need to be assessed going down the line.
Well, what about agriculture? Because as you report, during the last drought in 2015, then Governor Jerry Brown was criticized for not imposing conservation orders on agriculture.
Agriculture is a whole different kettle of fish. We're seeing surface water supplies significantly reduced for various agricultural suppliers. In the Shasta Lake is California's biggest reservoir. It's really been in kind of a precipitation dry spot, and it's really critical for the Central Valley Project, which is federally managed water. This year, some agricultural irrigation suppliers, both north and south of the Delta, are set to get nothing from the Central Valley Project. Others have more robust contracts with the federal government, and so some are set to get their typical dry year allocations. But some, like the Sacramento Valley, irrigation districts in the Sacramento, which have really had an ironclad water supply because of their senior water rights and this decades-old agreement with the federal government, are actually set to see unprecedented cuts in their water deliveries, down to 18% of their total allocation. This has never been seen before. I actually have a story up today on our website, calmatters.org, about this. It's really having unprecedented consequences in this region that has banked on this substantial water supply.
This one is so devastating because you've got farmers who do not have enough water to grow their crops. You've got families who don't have wells, and then you have tribes that don't have enough water for the fish. I mean, this is hitting people just so deeply.
Exactly. The consequences are just so widespread. Everybody's hurting.
Well, we will definitely do another show on this. Shows, I should say. Rachel Becker is an environment reporter for CalMatters, where she covers California's water challenges and water policy issues. Rachel, thanks for your reporting, and thank you for joining us again.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show and Kevin Vance for engineering our show. You can find more information and share the show at yourcallradio.org. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be joined by San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin, who is facing a recall election on June 7th. Boudin ran on ending mass incarceration and cash bail. So what does his record show? Recall supporters say he is, quote, failing to keep San Franciscans safe. The majority of the recall money has come from wealthy donors, according to reports. What questions do you have for Chesa Boudin? We hope you can join us tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.